Welcome in, tappers, to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Thursday, July 12th. Hope everybody is doing well. We are nearly to the weekend. We can sniff it, can smell it. It's exciting, always a good thing. Got quite the weekend on deck with the World Cup final, Croatia versus France. I don't think that was expected at the start of the World Cup, but here we are. That is sort of the headline of the weekend. After that, it gets pretty boring for a while because you get the All-Star game. You get then a couple days of no sports, but British Open does start on Thursday. So you kind of, that kind of is a good buffer to kind of bring you back. And then after this next week, I mean, it's kind of like football gets going. I mean, training camp and things like that will be in full effect after that week. So we'll get through this. We'll definitely be talking about all of it. SnowTapWI is where you can find us. You know it's a website. You know it's your alternative source for Wisconsin sports. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Any of those will work. You can follow on all of them. And then also make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. The listens have been fantastic of late. Thank you so much for all that are tuning in. It is much appreciated and much love to you all. Okay. So let's talk about Jesus Aguilar. So Jesus Aguilar makes the All-Star game. I don't think that is a surprise to anybody. 20.2 million votes for Jesus Aguilar. It's the second most for a final vote behind Justin Turner, who got 20.8. A huge kudos to the Brewers digital media team. I think the We Believe in Jesus, the Get Out the Vote efforts, all the things that the Brewers executed on were fantastic. I think that they were prepared for this, actually. I think they were ready, and they knew what campaign they were ready to run literally sat Sunday night. And, you know, I think some people are like, wow, you know, Milwaukee got this guy in with 20 million votes. Amazing. I think a lot of credit does go to Brewer fans, but I think baseball fans knew that Aguilar was a snub. I believe when Turner got all those votes, pretty sure he was a notorious snub in terms of all the stats that he had that year. So Aguilar getting in is refreshing. I don't know if it's really a surprise because I think he was the guy. He was the favorite. And if anything, Gene Segura getting in the American League is more of a surprise. Another former Brewer making the All-Star game. Brewers actually, I mean, that's probably a topic next week, is like you look at all the guys, former Brewers who are you know, Segura, Scooter Gennett. I don't know if Mitch Haniger made it, but Mitch Haniger right on the cusp of an All-Star berth. But, you know, it's like Brewers have some talent, former talent that made it as an All-Star in other teams. And it's not like, oh man, they were still on the team. It's, you know, that's apples to oranges, guys, and you should know that. But anyways, you know, Jesus Aguilar, my wonder for Jesus Aguilar is really what is the ceiling of him? Like, this season has been incredible. I mean, last night he had a great game with three RBIs. He had, and it were all, you know, doubles. They weren't necessarily the home run. And Aguilar continues to be a machine. He's leading the NL in home runs. He's only two behind Eugenio Suarez in RBIs. I don't know where he is on average from a Triple Crown perspective. I think he's far behind. I think Scooter Gennett actually leads average, hitting about .337. So Triple Crown probably out of the question, but the idea of him being an MVP this year in a wide open NL is a very realistic thing. He can definitely be an MVP candidate this year. I think right now people would say Max Scherzer is the MVP just from a WAR perspective and what he does on the pitching mound. He's been absolutely stellar all year. And I don't know if someone's going to give Aguilar that crown with how Scherzer is going. Now, granted, it's very hard for a pitcher to win MVP and the Cy Young. It hasn't been done very often. And usually, I think the writers tend to lean more to give it to a batter just so there's some balance there. But, and if Aguilar is having that good of a season, they may force his hand. So part of me wonders, you know, what is his ceiling? And you can look at it in a variety of ways. The first way, more of the cynical way, is that this is a one year wonder. That this is your Nigel Morgan, but in a bigger, more effective form. Like Nigel Morgan, if you remember, had that amazing 2011 campaign. You wouldn't have considered him an all-star, but he hit 300. He set the table for Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder. Braun, obviously, an MVP year. Fielder had a great year, I believe, an all-star that season. So Nigel Morgan was kind of the straw that stirred the drink. And now Jesus Aguilar is the drink. Like Jesus Aguilar is the man. Like that, he is the cornerstone of this Brewer offense at this point. Now, Travis Shaw has been banged up. He hurt his ankle again. Once he gets going, you know, Yelich, Kane are more, I would say, the straws, if you will. I think they are very important and vital to this success, but Aguilar is that guy. So that's the question is like, will teams catch up to him in the second half? Will he, you know, will it just be a one thing? Or is he like a guy that's going to be a perennial all-star, potential MVP candidate, and just be an effective first baseman for years to come? I don't think that is known yet, right? You know, I think we'd be too early to rush to judgment and call him like a David Ortiz type, but it's worth a comparison. I'm not going to shy away from it because if you look at Ortiz, granted, had a lot more time in the big leagues. He was played with Minnesota for 6 years. Aguilar really didn't do that. And what makes it even more incredible on his run, but they were about the same age when they got going. Aguilar being 28, I think Ortiz was 27 when his first year with the Red Sox, but it could have been both 28. I don't have my computer on me at this juncture, but still, those two guys are similar in stature, similar in power, just, you know, they obviously different sides of the plate, but, you know, that might be the trajectory that the national media says, hey, this guy could be a David Ortiz type where he came on late and he is just this extremely effective hitter. I mean, another comparison, and it's a little bit different because he's outfielder and he's a different body type, but look at JD Martinez. JD Martinez bounced around. He was in Houston, then he had some good years with Detroit, then he had a great year with Detroit, then gets traded to Arizona, has this amazing season, amazing second half with Arizona, and now is probably the AL MVP for Boston. So, you know, this happens in baseball. We see this all the time where guys just sort of come out of nowhere. They're not prospects, they're not big names, and they become just an amazing, amazing part of baseball. So I don't want to say Jesus Aguilar is a one-year wonder. I just think there's too much evidence on the contrary that Aguilar can do this on a regular basis. We'll see if that's the case. I think Zeus is a hell of a player. I think he is as much as he's very, very, very important to that clubhouse. I think he very much is the guy in that clubhouse. And it's amazing to see, and very happy for him to be in the All-Star game. I'm very happy that he'll be in the Home Run Derby, has a chance to maybe knock out two Cubs, could get Kyle Schwarber in the semifinals, and then could get Javi Baez in the finals. We'll talk about Home Run Derbies affecting swings and all that jazz probably next week, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Who knows what topics will be broached. Also, too, talking about last night's game, I think a lot of Brewer fans were frustrated. A lot of people were upset that the Brewers, A, lost, but B, that Craig Counsell used a pitcher tied in the 12th inning. 4-4 game, Jorge Lopez stepped to the plate. He struck out instead of bringing up a guy, you know, bringing up Eric Kratz. Now, Eric Kratz has not had a hit in his last 24 at-bats. Eric Kratz is definitely not, you know, this all-star player at this point. So counsel's defense was that Lopez was basically the last pitcher we were going to use tonight, that you were going, he was going to go as many innings as we needed to. Now Lopez then gives up a run in the bottom half of that inning, and the Brewers lose, and everybody, you know, kind of gets the Herm Edwards drop, you play to win the game. I get it. But let's consider a few things here, guys. Number one, the Brewers have a 5-game trip to Pittsburgh that was literally tomorrow, today. So the Brewers have no time. They have no rest. It's not like they get tomorrow off and they'll be, but they have to be firing on all cylinders tomorrow. Mind you, tomorrow as well as Wade Miley is starting. Wade Miley, I don't know, has a pitch count. He could have a pitch count. If he does, then the Brewers need another bullpen effort tomorrow. So you have that concern. You also have the fact that, yeah, you don't necessarily want to use Josh Hader in this situation when you have 5 games in 4 nights against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh is not contending like they were earlier this season, but like Miami, they're still a pesky team. They're still a team that has found ways to beat the Brewers in the past. The Brewers got 2 of 3 the last time they were at PNC, or I'm sorry, it was a split because the rain out. But anyways, it's definitely one of those series where the Brewers have to conserve a little energy. Like, they cannot essentially be put all their eggs in this game's basket. I know that bothers some Brewer fans. I know some Brewer fans would like it if the Brewers played balls out every game. Well, balls out every game has consequences for the game on Thursday or the game on Friday or the doubleheader on Saturday. I'm not a counsel apologist by any means, but I can defend counsel when it makes sense. I think yesterday made sense. Unfortunately for Craig Counsell, this is where, you know, as we've said before, you put your ass in the jackpot. Counsell was in the jackpot when the fact that Freddie Peralta was only able to go 4 innings. You had to use Jacob Barnes for 2. You had to use Dan Jennings for an inning and a third. So because you had to use guys like Barnes and Jennings early in this game, you weren't able to use them in the back end. If Peralta goes 6 innings and you're able to, say, just use Jennings, well, then Jacob Barnes could have came in the 10th inning and the 11th inning, and Eric Kratz is pinch hitting for Barnes, and Jorge Lopez is coming in, and then you put yourself into that situation in the 13th inning, the 14th inning, what have you. So it was all a cascading effect, and the worst scenario for the Brewers was getting into extra innings because they just didn't have enough talent today. And yeah, you can be mad about it, but also consider this. The Marlins have been a 500 team for the last month. I know the record doesn't show that, but they are not a bad team. They're a pesky team, kind of like Pittsburgh. So hopefully Milwaukee can turn the tide tonight. Not an easy one at all. I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers dropped this one just with on the road, and it's going to be a battle for them to really win this game. We'll be impressed if they end up getting it done. All right, wrapping it up, not too much left. I did want to note something Zach Lowe said. He had a winners and losers for NBA free agency. Did not mention the Bucks in a column. Bucks didn't get a winner. They didn't get a loser. He did mention that he wished Washington had went after Brook Lopez instead of Dwight Howard. And he really talked about how much he liked Lopez with the team. He also talked about, even though they overpaid for signing Ilyasova, Lowe expects them to do much more small ball, have 4 shooters around Giannis, which is a very exciting thing. I think that's something that people have been yearning for a very long time. And then he also mentioned Jabari Parker, and Jabari Parker saying that the Bucks kind of screwed themselves with the Ilyasova deal, that basically if, I think he said Atlanta, Chicago, or Sacramento bring Parker a huge contract and blow it out of the water, there is not a way the Bucks can match without shedding salary. I don't think that's going to happen. This Jabari thing is bordering on bizarre. I feel like if we get past this weekend and there's still no resolution, I think then it is officially bizarre. and questions will be asked. I think the national media will start paying a little more attention to it, as it's like the one last thing of NBA free agency news to sort of wrap up. Like, that's the one shoe that hasn't dropped yet. I think people are, I mean, we're on a Machado watch, which has gotten scary because the Yankees apparently have a big offer on the table, which not great. Now we're also on Jabari watch. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be. I mean, we've talked about it, I think, on this podcast all week, and it continues to be a topic because we just do not know. We do not have clarity. We haven't heard anything from Jabari, haven't heard anything from his agent. I think it'd be refreshing to know those sort of things, to know really what's going on with the former Bucks second overall pick. Well, that about does it for us. We will talk tomorrow. Look forward to that podcast. We will talk Brewers. Who knows if there's any Bucks news that'll pop up. Who knows? Maybe even some Packers. It's been a while since we've talked about the Green Bay Packers. But anyways, you know where to find us. NoTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. Leave us a review. It's always appreciated. And you guys have yourself a great Thursday. If you're going out to storm the Bastille tonight in Milwaukee, stay safe. All right, later.